all these familiar faces this evening. How many have things cooking at home right now? All right, we'll get you home before they burn, all right? Kendall and I were in the process of making a peppermint chocolate chip cake for Christmas. Does that sound cool? Does that sound good? Yeah. I will sell it $5 a slice if you want to swing by my house. Okay, I'm teasing. Well, it's good to have you here. This is this time of December where we reflect, we think about what this life in Christ means, the birth of this child. You know, Jesus was born to die. And let that just sort of soak in. And so we're going to be just completing this message series. It was just a two-part message series called The Unexpected Tonight. But first, I'm going to give away our gift. We always give away a fun gift. And this is the last night that I do this. Everybody have a ticket, all right? I hate giving away tickets because it looks like people are coming in for a show. This isn't a show, but it was just something fun that we do. We give away a gift. It's just a fun gift. So if you don't have a ticket, let me know. Anybody, just raise your hand and we'll get one to you. All right, good. So Cooper, did you get the tickets up here to me? Where's it's on the stairs. Okay, hang on just a minute. Okay, here's the ticket number. Ticket number 6358. 635. All right, Andre. Andre, you're going to love this gift, man. Andre, you know the deal. You got to unwrap it here, okay? This is sort of a dual surprise. You get two gifts in one. All right, so Andre, he's taking home the clapper. Y'all know what the clapper is? All right? So Andre, you know, you're playing your PS5 game. You don't really want to get up and walk all the way to the TV. It's just, and that's it, man. It comes on, all right? And then Andre got some socks. And I want a picture of you wearing those socks, buddy, okay? All right, man. Well, there was a little boy writing a letter to Jesus at Christmas time, and he made a list of all the Christmas gifts he wanted that year, and he said, "Dear Jesus, I really want these things because I've been a good boy all year long." And then he stopped, and he thought for a minute, and he thought a little bit more, and he scratched that part out, and he says, "Okay, maybe not all year. But I've been a good boy for at least a few months." And then he stopped for a minute, and he was worried that he was lying. And he's writing to Jesus, right? You don't want to lie, writing to Jesus. So he's getting a little worried about that, so he scratches that out, and he says, "Okay, I've been a good boy for at least a couple of weeks." Then he takes that piece of paper, and he throws it into the trash, and he starts a new piece of paper, and he starts thinking, he starts sweating. He looks over at the little nativity scene that his mom has in the living room, and he goes over and he grabs the statue of Mary. He plops it down in front of his letter, and he writes, "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again." I knew you guys would like that. Well, this past Sunday, through the story of Mary and Joseph, we learned about the unexpected and how to deal with the unexpected in our own lives. Here they were. They were just common, everyday townspeople living just an ordinary life. They were looking forward to getting married. Life was just sort of cruising along, and then out of nowhere, an angel appears and tells Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And if Mary was like me, she probably thought, that's impossible. And so the angel continued in Luke chapter 1, verse 36, and the angel says, and behold, your relative Elizabeth, now Elizabeth was the cousin, Mary's cousin, in her old age has also conceived a son. So Elizabeth would have John the Baptist, who was a forerunner to Jesus. He would preach a message of repentance right before Jesus came. And so she too conceived in her old age, it says, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So not only is she older, but she had been called barren, a barren woman. And Mary must have thought to herself, there is no way, that is impossible. And then in verse 37, this is what the angel ends with. He says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Do you believe that? I mean, seriously, do you believe that nothing is impossible for our great God? I hope you do. Because according to the Bible, unless the humanly impossible happens, you and me and our families and our future and our destiny, it looks pretty bleak. And so we learned last week or last Sunday that he is the God of the impossible. And I like how Mary makes her, just after the angel tells her all this, she says, I am your servant. Because he is the God of the impossible, and our role is to just be his servant. Our role is to just trust him. And so that's the next question. Do you trust him today? Do you trust him for the impossible? And I think what causes a lot of people to reject God is that they continue in this mode and in this situation where they're constantly saying, that's impossible, that's impossible, that's impossible. But listen, you know, no, many, many, many impossibles had to happen for you and I to be here. And whether you believe in God or not, the impossible, it had to happen. For this universe to come together, the impossible had to happen. So really, either way, you're putting faith in the impossible, whether you believe in God or not. I heard a guy one time talking about the Big Bang Theory, and he says, it all started with this mass that was floating in space. And I said, as I'm watching this, I said, no, it's not where it started. Because if that mass were true, it would even start before the mass, because who put the mass there? And where did it come from, right? And so he says, it all started with this mass. But where did that come from? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis 1:1, it tells us, in the beginning, God created. And it goes on to explain the impossible, that he created something from nothing, that he spoke it into existence. And man, when we read that or we hear that, we say, wow, that's just impossible. It's impossible for something to be spoken into existence. And listen, I've battled this impossible all my life. I've spent countless hours and countless days and years trying to fix me, the impossible, the impossible fixer. I've tried as hard as I could to fix the things that I feel like are wrong with me. I felt like the Apostle Paul in chapter 7 of Romans, he says, I do not understand the things that I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, and what I hate to do, I do. We are broken. We are broken. Sin not only separates us from God, it breaks us. It blinds us, it deceives us, and it's going to take the impossible to fix us. and you can't do it. You can't save yourself. In fact, the entire Old Testament, it makes it clear that you know, how impossible it is to save ourselves. So what happened in the Old Testament is Israel, God's people, the Israelites, the Jews, for years they would bring sacrifices to rid themselves of sin. They would sacrifice, and they were trying to get rid of the sin. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, it says this: it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It's impossible. And then they would try to follow the law, and they would try to keep the law. They would try to keep the Ten Commandments. They would try to adhere to all the things that God told them to do, but they just couldn't do it. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by our flesh, could not do by sending his Son." So these laws couldn't fix us. The sacrificial system couldn't fix us. Nothing could fix us. And so the law was ineffective to save you. It was weakened by your flesh. And you can try and you can try and you can try. And you know this, you can't save yourself. It's impossible. And this is not what we expect, you know. What you expect is that if you're nice enough, if you're a good enough person, you keep your nose clean, you stay out of trouble, you get a good job, you make cupcakes for the soccer team, right? You fix your neighbor's car, you volunteer for the food bank. By the way, we had an amazing food distribution last night. But you try as much as you can, and you think, man, if I'm just a good enough person, God will accept me. But that's what Scripture says, is that's just false religion. The dead religious systems of this world have always taught us that we can fix ourselves. And the truth is, good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. And that's the reality of it. And you see, the birth of Jesus is the unexpected, because what we expect is that we can fix ourselves and we can be good enough. And what we expect, see, what the Jews expected this reigning king to run in and save everyone. But then we end up with this child in swaddling clothes, born in a barn. And so listen, the impossible happened. And even though it's impossible to save yourself, I want you to listen. You can see this on the screen. This is what the angel tells the shepherds. And think of the shepherds like you and I. They're just out there doing their job. They're living life as normal, living life as everyone else. And here's what he says to them. It said to the shepherds, he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was this, with the angels, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." See, you can't do it. You can try. Lord knows we've tried, right? But he can. And this is the good news of great joy that comes to you at Christmas time, is this story. And it's the reality of your salvation, and how God enters your life and changes everything. And it's good news of great joy, because he was born unto you. He wasn't just born. I like how Isaiah puts it in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "Unto us a child is given," right? A child is born into this world. Unto us a child is born, is what it says, born into this world. "Unto us a son is given." It's God's only son. It's funny, I was putting Kendall down to bed, my daughter, she's eight, And she says, Dad, I want to tell you a Bible story. Okay, there's this guy, his name's Abraham. And she just lays this whole story out to me. It was just so amazing. She says, there's this guy, it's Abraham, and his son Isaac. And he was taking Isaac, and he was going to put him on an altar, and he was going to kill Isaac, Dad. But Isaac didn't know it, and he turns to his dad, and he says, where is the lamb that will be slain? Where is the lamb for the altar? And God told Isaac, and she tells me all this in detail, okay, without even having the Bible in her hand, she tells me all this in detail. She says, God said, I'll provide the lamb. And so Isaac, this is the Old Testament, or Abraham takes his son in the Old Testament and is about to take his life, the life of his son. But God sends this lamb that was caught in the thickets and uses, and instead of sacrificing his son, the lamb was slain. And this was a picture of the Christ who would come. And unto us a son is given, born to die. Unto you a son is given, born to die. And he's laid on this altar called the cross. But of course, that's the Easter story. We're at the Christmas story. Let's get back to what we're talking about tonight. Okay. So in the person of Jesus, God physically entered into our world. And think about that. An infinite God came into a finite world. In Jesus, God and man came together. He was fully God and fully man. Why? It's because that's the way it had to be. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking impossible, right? You're thinking impossible. That's the way it had to be, because the impossible has to happen for you to be saved. And he was born unto you, it says in Luke 10:11. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Just what you need. The unexpected, the impossible, born for you. And here's the deal as we wrap this up. In John chapter 1, verse 12. So I love how John lays out the Christmas story. It's completely different than the other Gospels, right? So there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's three synoptic Gospels. So think about synonyms, right? Synonyms means similar, okay? So there are three similar Gospels, synoptic, and there's one that stands alone, that's John. Okay, and here's what John says. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And this word, this term, Word, it's referring to Jesus. And he says this, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. This Word was the revelation of God. The Messiah would come. All along, God spoke of this one who would come. He's the living Word, right? The living revelation of God, the one spoken of throughout Scripture. And he came to dwell among us. But I love what John says. And this is very beginning of the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12. He says this. It's going to be on the screen. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. For all of those who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children. They're no longer just creations of God. They are now given the right to be called children of God. Who were born not of blood. He's saying, I'm not telling you you're born, your natural body is born again. I'm saying you're not born of God, you're born of God, you're born anew. Well, why do we bring all this up on Christmas Eve? Because this is the most important message of this time of the year. It's not Santa. It's not Rudolph, although I love the Rudolph story. Do you know Montgomery Ward's made Rudolph, invented Rudolph as a commercial? Do you know that? Although we love all these things that we do at Christmas time, we can get really distracted from the main thing, that the Son of God came to earth, fully God, fully man, to live a sinless life, to die a sinner's death, to hang on a cross for the salvation of the world. He came to save us. And some people might say that's impossible. But look, the same people that say that's impossible believe in all kinds of other impossible things. See, it's going to take a miracle to save us. And Jesus is our miracle, born in a manger, born in a stable, born of a virgin, to save the world. See, God created you. He loves you. He cares about your future. And my appeal to you tonight is to remember the Christ child that was born to save. Amen? Let's pray. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill to man. We thank you, Lord, for this child that was given, this son that was given to us, this child that was born to save the world. And every time we say in our hearts, that's got to be impossible, we know and remember what the angel said in Luke chapter 1, nothing is impossible for God. I pray for that person tonight, maybe going through a lot, maybe just reflecting on a lot of loss and just issues of the season, things that have gone on this year. I pray that they'll just sort of empty those things out, Lord, and know that if they will receive you and just trust you, you're the God of the impossible, you can bring them out. Father, as we're here on Christmas Eve and right before we go home, Lord, we're reminded of this night, this silent night that we celebrate. We're under the star of David, the North Star, was a child in a manger who came to save the world, the glorious impossible. We glorify and praise his name in Jesus' name, amen.